Sometimes we come back to church the next week. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we sit together and just kind of nod, we've got this and we understand. And sometimes we come yet again saying, I have no clue what all this means. What difference did that make in my life? How are things different? How were the events of this week different since Sunday? Or since 2,000 years ago? How do we move forward in this story? And it is, I think, one of the reasons we have John's gospel account before us, because it is the account of what then? What comes next? What difference does this make for us? If you kind of hang into what John has done from the beginning of his gospel, there's a theme of one person experiencing and then telling another person and inviting them to encounter Christ. When we get to Jesus calling his disciples, there's Andrew, and then he tells Peter, and they go back and they meet Jesus, and then they go and tell some others and they say, come and see. And then there's Samaritan women who go and tell their community, come and see who I've met. Once someone sees Jesus, once they encounter them, it's usually alone, or one person sort of gets it, and then they go and tell other people and they bring them back. But it's never one person convincing another person to believe. No one of us apparently has the ability to simply say, here is my experience of encountering Christ, and by telling you that, then you have the same experience. It's always an invitation, and it's a journey. It's the procession, or the process that John lays out about coming to know Christ, coming to live in the light. And when we get to resurrection and the stories thereafter in John's gospel, it's almost this amazing reversal, because Jesus has, the many have seen them, and most of them don't like him or are so much afraid of him that they basically want to lock him up in a tomb out of their fear. We're afraid of you. We're afraid of the truth that you bring. We're afraid of giving up the power and the authority of our lives. We're afraid of giving up the idea that we know exactly how everything is. So let's lock you away in a tomb so that we don't have to deal. That's how we'll put our fear aside. That's how we'll respond. And of course, that doesn't work out very well, because the next day, or 3 days later, when they go to make sure that Jesus is still in the tomb, what do they discover? Well, they discover in pieces that, well, one, the tomb is open, but we closed it, and it's unsealed. This is disconcerting. And we take that information and go tell another, and they come running, and they sort of look and say, well, sure enough, it's not sealed, and I'm going to look inside. Oh, there's some clothes. And then they go out, and the next one comes and goes, there's some clothes, and the little piece that went over his head, and it's folded. And then they run back, and they go home and hide. But one, Mary Magdalene, according to John's gospel, stays in the garden, out in the light, looking at the emptiness of the tomb. And it is there that she hears from an angel, what are you looking for? You're coming looking for Jesus. And then she meets Jesus himself. But her mind, in her state, in where she is sealed up in her, basically her own tomb, are you the gardener? She doesn't even recognize Jesus. But he calls her name, and then she sees him, and she wants to hold him. And once she's seen him, once she's had this experience where she recognizes this is Jesus, moves out of her own tomb and into the light, then she does what he says. Go tell my brothers. Things are different. Go tell them I'm raised from the dead. And she does this. One person goes. And apparently she gets the message across, because they're all huddled up together, hiding out of fear. They haven't seen the risen Jesus. They took her word enough maybe to be huddled together and afraid, but afraid who knows what. So what we get, and what I'm cutting to, is all of a sudden there's Jesus' resurrection, and then the rest of it is our resurrection stories. There's resurrection story after resurrection story. What is the death? The death has been the fear. The death was the fear that Jesus' truth was upon us, so we killed him, but that didn't work. And now the fear is, he's loose, and we become afraid of other people and other things, and we seal ourselves in our own tombs, apart from others, apart from the risen Christ, where they can't get at us. Look at our world. How often do we shape our world by keeping those people out? Keep our doors locked. Don't let them come and break in. Security systems, advertisements, and what is happening to our world, and language and actions that want to make us afraid, and we embrace that. And in our fear, our response generally is to hide and to lock ourselves in our own tomb. The fear may be fear of relationships. There may be the fear of death, that the relationships that we have, that our spouse will one day die. That might be our fear. Or something would happen to our children, or we would die, or things won't go the way that we thought they would, or I wouldn't be successful. Thing after thing that is fearful is a tomb that we seal ourselves in. But resurrection will have none of that. And what we begin to see is that in the midst of fear and in our own tombs, Jesus shows up. We can't keep him out. We can't lock ourselves away. Jesus comes among us where we are in those places of fear and says, "Peace be with you." Like last week, if you were here, I talked that the angel said, "Don't become the fear. Instead, become the joy." Yes, you're afraid. This is weird and strange and different. Yes, it's uncertain. Yes, I don't know how things turn out. But don't embrace the fear as who you become. Become joyful. And in this case, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." They're scared to death. They're dead in their tombs. They don't know what to do. And they don't know who this is. And Jesus first says, "Don't become the fear. Become the peace." Become who you are. Come to grips with what's true. And when they did that and he showed them his hands and his side, they saw, in John's vernacular, then they saw the Lord and they rejoiced. But he had to resurrect them from their fear, resurrect them from how they thought things were, resurrect them from what they thought they know, their knowledge and what made sense, to resurrect them from that. And then Jesus literally opens the door. He sends them out. He says, "Here's the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what you do with resurrection. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of other people." He says, "You have the power to forgive." Forgiveness is the freedom from fear. Forgiveness is the resurrection of life. Jesus says, "Here's the secret to living a life abundant. Go and love other people." How do you do that? You forgive other people. And where you see strife, you bring peace in the middle. You forgive. You don't hold on to your fear. You don't shut out. You don't clamp down. You don't turn away. You don't build up walls. And you don't lock your doggone doors away from everybody who's having difficulty. Even if an emotion is to be afraid, Jesus says, "You have the Holy Spirit power to forgive." And of course, what do the disciples do? They don't run out and start forgiving, but that becomes part of our story. They're like, "Yay, Jesus," and he's gone. Now, who wasn't there, by the way, as Pam rightly asked? Thomas. Oh, and Thomas, we like to rake him over the coals. Poor old Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Boy, look, remember, Thomas is the twin, and by the way, his twin is us. Okay, so if we want to just kind of cut to John's gospel, what Thomas is doing and who he is, we're the one connected as the twins. So this is our entering into this picture. And Thomas shouldn't get such a bad rap. Thomas is not, "I don't believe." Thomas is, "I want to see Christ in this world and in my life and in the daily grind of life. It's where I encountered him. It's where I followed him." When Jesus says earlier, "We're going to go raise Lazarus up from the dead," and everybody says, "Hey, those folks are going to kill us if we show up. Let's not go." Thomas says, "No, let's go with Jesus and die with him." He's like, literally, "Let's go. If that's where we're headed, let's go." That doesn't sound like someone who is fearful. It sounds like someone who's courageous, taking to heart what Jesus said. Later, Jesus is giving his discourse, and he says, "Look, I'm not going to be with you, but do not be afraid." And then he gives the wedding proposal of the Jewish invitation to be wed. "I go to my father's house where there are many rooms. I prepare a place. I'll come back and get you." This wonderful language. And Jesus says, "You know where I'm going, and you know the way." And Thomas says, "I don't know the way, because I want to go with you. This sounds like something I don't understand. How can I walk where you're going if you don't show me the way. Thomas won't have any of the just ideas. Thomas says, look, I'm taking this seriously. This, I'm with the Christ, and it's here in this world and present. What's going on? And so I think when we get to Thomas's story, Mary Magdalene's told him Jesus isn't there. I've seen the Lord, and I believe Thomas goes out looking for him. The rest of the disciples are all hiding for fear of the Jews, for fear of what may happen, for what their abandonment issues were, for the relationship that was broken. We all ran away from Jesus. He's going to get us. That's got to be part of what's happening. They abandoned the one who loved them. That's as broken a relationship as you can have. So they're hiding. I think Thomas is out looking. You can read yours and figure out where he is. It doesn't tell us for sure. He's arisen. Let me go see where he is, because he's not with the others hiding. He's down a different path. And the disciples find him and say, hey, we've seen Jesus. And he was like, you guys? I don't believe you for a second. The doubting is not of Jesus. The doubting is of the other people in his relationship. If Jesus has seen you and sent you out to forgive others, and where we find you is hiding back where you were, what kind of relationship is this? You guys all left Jesus too. Why should I believe what you say? I'm not certain. What I need to see is Jesus here with me. I can't have an idea. I can't have this sort of thought about floating Jesus. I can't have, oh, well, you know, in the sweet by and by, everything will be okay. That's not what I heard Jesus telling me. It's not what he showed me. I want to see. In fact, the language is like, I want to shove my hand in his hand wounds and shove my hand. I need to tangibly know that he's present with me, that this isn't some idea, that our lives matter, that our relationships matter, that the suffering and the hardship and the fear, that all of it that's here and gooey and messy, that it matters and he's here with me. Then I'll really know. And of course, he has enough connection with them to at least meet with him the next week. So let's give Thomas some heads up. Like, you guys, I'm not taking your word for it. You guys don't really look like the risen Christ to me. I'll take my chances. But he shows up, and of course, Christ comes. This time, hey, the disciples are getting better. They didn't lock the door. They just shut the doors. You know, all right, we don't have to lock them, but let's keep them closed. We don't want people peeking in, you know, into the church. One theologian said, you know, we say a mighty fortress is our God, but what we really mean is a mighty fortress is our church. Close the daggone doors and don't let anybody get us, and certainly don't make us get out, which is what Jesus wants to do. He keeps sending us out of our tombs. We like locking ourselves in our tombs, but Jesus won't have it. Thomas is there, and Jesus comes, and again, don't be the fear, be the peace. Peace be with you. Become this. Thomas, hear, touch, feel. I don't think Thomas even does. But he sees God. He sees Jesus with the reality of himself, with the pain and the difficulty in the life. Not something other, but us here together, that this great unitedness of God and human, that this is who we are. That we are brothers, that we are of a common ancestor, that we, God and humanity, dwelling together. And it's real and present and scarred. It's not some fairy tale. It's the scars of our lives. And here is Jesus present in the midst of that. And he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas Merton said, the troubles of this world is not lack of knowledge, it's lack of love. Well, if you'd like Thomas Merton, that, wow, that's really good. Let me just put it this way. It's not that Thomas just wanted proof. It's that he wanted to see that God mattered in the midst of the world. Agnosticism, easy for me to say, is the needing to prove God. It's not that there isn't a God, but I need to prove, or you need to prove to me, God either exists or doesn't exist, and that it matters. It's like the psalmist. The psalmist says, God, where are you? I don't see you. What is going on? Look at how horrible and duff these situations are. And at the same time says, but I love you and I am faithful to you. It's this amazing connection. And this is Thomas. I'm faithful in that I want to be connected. I'm faithful that I'm seeking after you. I'm faithful that it's got to matter. It's got to mean something, but I don't quite see it yet. But here's Jesus. He proclaims then, Thomas, my Lord and my God. And Jesus then says to him, to our twin, you've seen and you believe, which is awesome. It's set into you. You get it. But blessed are those who you are going to tell about this. that will have the faith. And believing isn't like, I know this to be true. Believing, let's call it faith. Let's call it trust. Blessed are you who trust in me because you see me, because you get it, because you've encountered. Blessed are those who trust when they haven't seen fully, which is the story of all of us. Who brought you to faith? Who asked you to come to church? Where did you meet Christ? Have you met Christ yet? Maybe or maybe not. But there's enough working on that you continue to be faithful and calm and connect. But don't become the fear. Be the peace. Be the faithfulness. Get what John is saying, that the goal, this isn't about dying and going to heaven. That's a little piece of this. Jesus, this is life and life abundant. This is relationships. Resurrection is the healing of relationships. I'm risen, you're afraid, you're empowered to go and forgive people. Build relationship. Stop being afraid of the relationships that will end. Stop being afraid of death. Stop embracing and locking yourself in your tomb over what issue it is. Control, power, uncertainty, brokenness, pain, being evicted, all of these things that are part of our life. Stop doing that and start forgiving. Start living a life. Start seeking to see Christ. Be in places where it matters. Facebook has become a place, and we're, a lot of us are on Facebook. We put our best foot forward. We put things together for the most part that are happy. And, you know, Christy and I had our anniversary, and there was like 80, 60 people, 50. I don't want to be a preacher. 20 people said something? No. Come on. It's like 60 or 70, right? Which was, well, a lot of you were among that. 2 days later, we discovered there's a person, Tina Taylor, who suffers from CML, the same leukemia that I have, and she's at a place where even bone marrow transplant that she had failed, and she needs another one. She's a mother with 2 children, one of them an infant, right? And we posted that picture. Please register your bone marrow. All you got to do is click on a website, and they'll send you a swab, and you swab it, and you send it back, and you find out what your bone marrow is, and you could maybe help someone live. We had like 2 people like or post or acknowledge that. And I'm not here to scold you for it. What I'm saying is that we're afraid of death. We're afraid of things. Let's go on Facebook and see all the happy things, but don't call me into the difficult places. I'm not sure I can handle it. Jesus says, peace be with you. Breathes the Spirit of the Holy Spirit into us, gives us the power to forgive and to embrace. And we have people among us in our community that are suffering difficult places, and their families are in difficult times, and death is even surprising, shock to anyone, for us all, but some closer than others. And we shy away and we lock ourselves. And what I'm saying, if Thomas teaches anything, it is to go to those places and be reconciled. And to don't be locked and become your fear, but become the faithfulness. Because it may be going to see the person or sharing your knowledge or your support. It may be acknowledging and giving yourself to others. It may be engaging in the difficulties of the world and not simply complaining about it or locking your doors from it, but participating or simply being present in your close relationships in a forgiving way. How many of us need to be resurrected today by forgiving someone in your life who has harmed you, by repairing a relationship that's broken, by laying down, you know, your grudge against them or forgiving them for something they've done? How many relationships are we in a place that we know they're not quite right and we're afraid of the brokenness of them? And Jesus says, go and forgive. Don't be afraid. Be the peace. It may be there that you actually see the risen Christ. Are you with me? We're at different levels. We're invited in. We're people. We're telling, this is what my experience is. Come and see. But we've got to live into that life. And we may yet need to see. But we can't see for someone else. And we can't see ourselves unless we go. Where has Jesus resurrected you in his love and grace? Where is it in your life that you need to make amends, that you need to be the healing, that you need to be the one to give away your life and all that's important? Where is it that we need to stop, you know, being afraid of giving to other people to help them? Where is it that we need to let go of our fears and live into life abundant? Because it is about becoming more faithful. Grow in your faithfulness. And John's gospel says that will happen. This is the method that it goes. One tells another and shows another. And every time, and especially in the most difficult places, Jesus will show up. And like Thomas, I need to see it in the real world where there's pain, suffering, uncertainty, brokenness, scary things happening, worlds in turned upside down, people enslaved to other issues of their own fear, where that liberation happens. But if we hide behind our doors, then the only option we have is Christ to show up in the midst of them. Sometimes that is even in our own death, and that's the only time. And that misses the point of life abundant. So church, you're here this morning. You're one who Jesus would say, continue to be the faithfulness, continue to do, even if you haven't seen Christ, even if you haven't made it clear, let him resurrect you by being truthful in the difficult places. And there you will see him. And then you'll tell someone else, I've seen the risen Lord, my Lord and my God. And they'll go, really? Well, okay. And they'll have their experience. As your pastor, it is the most powerful movement in my life right now, is to help move us from the place where we thought we knew, from the place where, or we've shut down, or we think we've got it, to begin to open up a place where we truly begin to live and to grow. Thomas, the one that we call the doubter, you know, that rascal went clear down to South India proclaiming the gospel. He went further than all of the disciples, simply sharing and proclaiming the faith. Not because he was fearful, but because he saw Christ and was willing to look for him, and said, I need to see it here in this place. And that's where Christ showed up for him. So wherever your tomb is, may the risen Lord come, open it, kick your fannies out into the world, and become persons of love and forgiveness, and we will see the transformation, and others will as well. Amen? Amen? Yes. Yes. Let's offer to God. Maybe we haven't seen the risen Christ, but by asking us to let go and to give to other persons, it may free us. It may be where we see Christ. So as the ushers would come forward, let us share in this offering, in this time of joy and opportunity.